You may be seated. I would like to say a thank you to you today for being patient with us as we are trying a few new things. One of the things I loved about this church 14 years ago when I first came, and I still love today, is the importance that we put in our children and our youth. And so it's exciting to be at a point where we have children who are learning and growing in our faith. And so I appreciate your patience with us. Forgiveness. We talked about forgiveness last week. It's the lectionary theme this week, and it's pretty much the theme for next week also. Sometimes I wonder, is there anything else I can say about the words that we read each week? Do you get tired of me going over every week the same thing over and over? God is love. Love your neighbor. There's one particular member who asks me pretty regularly, what are you going to preach on this week? Sin? What's your opinion of it? I said last week the Jewish phrase, it's all about loving your neighbor and the rest is commentary. Go and study. So I believe there's a lot for us to study in here every week together. And to be honest with you, I know that I look at Scripture and I get really weird things out of it sometimes. But this week, I don't really see some of the ordinary things. I see some very hidden things in this Scripture. Sure, there's the normal, why didn't the guy forgive after he had been forgiven? And there is the often quoted, forgive 7 times 70. But I think there's a lot to clarify in this Scripture. The first thing that I really want to know when I read this Scripture is, why did the king let the servant get so indebted to him? The servant is more in debt than there is any earthly way he could repay. Kevin and I tried to calculate this week. 10,000 talents, what would that be the equivalent to in today's standard? And the best we could get is that if I owed $100 million, you could take all that I have, all that I've ever had, and all that I could hope to earn in my future, and I couldn't put a debt in $100 million worth of debt. So why did the king let the servant get so far in debt? Because the servant wanted it? Because the servant needed it? Was it for selfish reasons? Was it for necessity reasons? Or was it because the king just got more power the more indebted people were to him? I can't help but think today about payday lending and signature loans that are all around our town. And the main goal when a person walks into one of these places is to get them into a debt situation that they can never get out of. That's the goal. Now, I know I've gone to meddling, and this isn't probably what you expected to hear when you came to church today, but it's about getting power over someone. And when we look at what's going on in our communities with people getting so deep in with these companies, what can we do? I heard the story of a former worker at one of these places where a very well-educated high school coach came in, someone who made a fair living, someone who worked hard, someone who was educated. And the coach came in and said, I need a loan to buy tires for my daughter's car. The worker, against the policy of the company, went over every detail. If you do this, it will take you this long to pay this off. If you do this, you will end up paying thousands of dollars for these tires. Is this really what you want to do? Can't we find a better option for you? And the coach replied, it's what I have to do. I need tires for my daughter's car, and I don't have another option. And so the process began, and the debt became deeper and deeper. The king had this person over a rock and hard place. The king held the power. How often do we use our ability to forgive someone as a place of power? Now, I admit, it was very gracious of the king to forgive this enormous debt. But did he really? It was a huge amount of money that he forgave. But when we go on through the story, the king didn't really forgive and forget, did he? Does our forgiveness have strings? And is it okay to forgive with strings? I've mentioned a few times that I attend a lectionary discussion group every Wednesday. And for 2 hours, we meet and we discuss the gospel lesson and the Old Testament lesson in detail for 2 hours. And it's a mix of a lot of different people, pastors from around this city, one of which is Alan Friedman, the rabbi from the Jewish synagogue. And my favorite part of the morning is when the rabbi talks about the gospel. Because he always has some wonderful remarks to make about the gospel. And considering that's not part of his Torah, it just fascinates me. But he made the statement this week that Jews have a saying, it's not forgive and forget, which is what we've always heard and been taught, but it's forgive and learn. I really loved that. Forgive and learn. Many have quoted this scripture as reasons to allow people to continue to hurt you. I have heard, sadly, women in abusive situations who have felt like this scripture was saying, I have to stay in this situation and forgive. And forgive, and forgive, and continue to be hurt. I don't think that is what Jesus was saying in this scripture in any way, shape, or form. I also don't believe that Jesus thinks this is an accounting system that we need to check off how many times we forgive. It's interesting, if you look in the Genesis scripture for today's lesson, it is also the story of Joseph and Joseph forgiving his brothers. And after the death of Joseph's father, his brothers, being afraid that Joseph will somehow harm them, because there's no reason for Joseph to continue to forgive them. And if we look at the story of Joseph, Joseph did take his time in giving forgiveness. He watched to see how his brothers behaved. But he ultimately forgave them. No strings attached. I remember when I was a school teacher, and you would have children that would misbehave, and you would call on them and you would say, you know, this you can't act this way, and you really need to not do this. And they would say, oh, Miss Hill, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And then you would send them on their way for them to do what? The same thing. The same thing. I was quick to say, when a child would say, I'm sorry, to say, don't tell me you're sorry until you change your behavior. Don't say you're sorry until you change your behavior. Repentance has two sides of it. I think this story has two sides to it. Two sides to forgiveness, two sides to repentance. Repentance only counts if you stop the action. We want to forgive. It seems like the right thing to do. But forgiveness is difficult if repentance isn't real. Do we continue to forgive? I think we're called to continue to offer forgiveness over and over. But forgiveness also has the side to it of acceptance. Which is probably one of the hardest things about forgiveness. I'm afraid that a lot of us have a real hard time accepting forgiveness, especially when we know that we haven't changed or learned from our actions. I think another side of forgiving is letting go of the power that we hold over people. The king offered release. The word forgiveness translates release. The king offered release, but didn't really let go. The king called the servant back in and made him responsible for the debt after all because he didn't like his behavior. How often do we feel like we aren't forgiven completely? How often do we feel like we're not forgiven completely, even from God? Like God is still keeping track. It's hard for us to believe that the slate can be wiped clean. I think I've quoted this before, but Grady Nutt used to say that was the best thing about Catholics, is that when they went in confession, it was done, and you didn't repeat it in confessions. Thank goodness that we don't have to go into confessionals, but that we can go directly to God. And that we can know that we don't have to carry the weight of our debt anymore. We say it. We said it in the prayer we prayed today. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We can rest assured that God doesn't hold forgiveness out like a carrot to us. It's not something that can be taken back. God forgives us, and the slate is wiped clean. But it's hard for us to accept that forgiveness. I admit that I wonder also in this scripture about the people the servant is hanging around, especially since they run to the king the minute the slave does something wrong. They run to the king and tell on the servant. Is that our role? To run to the king in judgment of those who we see doing what we think is wrong? I read in a commentary the comment that sometimes we see people who hate the sin, we see people who hate the sinner, and we see people who are energized by the hate. That's what I would say about these servants that ran to the king. They're energized by that failure that they see in other people. I see people who really like to see other people do the wrong thing. And they really like to call people out. It's part of our society. Goodness, look at the television shows we watch. Are they really ever about really good people doing really good things? If that's the kind of television you watch, talk to me later, because I want to know what it is. Because we love to see people doing wrong. We get caught up in it. We get energized by it. Is it our place to turn against people who aren't forgiving? So for me, this scripture today brings up more questions than it brings up answers. What can we do today to help our world be a place of forgiveness and love? What can we as Christians and as the church do to help prevent our neighbors from getting so deeply indebted that there's no way out? How do I learn to forgive others? How do I learn to let go? How do I learn to forgive myself? How do I learn to accept forgiveness from others, from God, and from myself? No one ever promised this journey would be easy. No one ever said the commentary answered all of our questions. Sometimes it just brings up more questions. And that's why we're in community together, is to study and to think and to question. So may we continue loving our neighbor and studying the commentary. Amen and amen.